from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G. and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitine.
It is the G. and Ursula Show. Happy Fresh Fridays. Ursula, did you learn a lot during the break?
I sure did. And so many of our listeners had the right answer.
Right.
But no, it's not liquid sunshine. A few people were making some guesses, and and it has to do with...
I'll tell you. I'll say what it is. And it's kind of sad because...
Very sad.
So here it is. It's raining, and then the sun is out at the same time. And unfortunately, I grew up with... When that happens, I grew up with being told that that meant that Satan, the devil, was beating or being aggressive with his wife. And I thought... I thought that was true for years. Seriously, for years I thought that was true. And then now, even as we talk about it today, I just think, if I thought that that was true for years, number one, that's sad. Number two, the fact that I know that's not true. I know that's not true. But still to this day, when I see it, the first thing I think about is what I used to believe.
Yeah. What we were saying off air was it reminds you how much of an impact something that you can tell your child today and say, you know, this is it, how they can believe that for so many years. And that's something that you grow up with.
Right.
Until you look for yourself and see, well, wait a minute, that just had nothing to do with it.
But I told Chef, I said, that topic that we dealt with was deeper than I had planned. I had no idea that it was going to strike some emotions.
How silly Friday the 13th is.
But even though, here's my point and my takeaway. Even though it's silly, even though these things that we learn as a child, even though we know they're not to be true today, then why do I still think about it then? That's
because
the scary part.
It's because it's during your formative years.
Mm-hmm.
That was embedded in your brain.
So what other things, do you have that you were taught when you were younger and you have to unlearn today? And that's the scary part of the topic. Let's go.
What's new at 10?
And during this time on Friday mornings, we always bring in our friend and our colleague, Michael Medved from 770 KTTH. He hosts his show there. He's also a presidential historian. And Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Ursula. Welcome back.
Well, thank you so much. So I want to ask you, just because of our last discussion, we were talking about Friday the 13th, whether it's Friday the 13th or anything, was there something that you grew up believing in and then you realize as an adult, well, wait a minute, those were, you know, tales that I was told, something that stuck with you that it took a while before you realized I have to unlearn that?
You know, I'd like to say that there was, but both my parents were scientists, and they were pretty careful about what they tried to get their sons to believe in. I mean, I remember I had to be very sensitive because, you know, one of the things that little kids believe in is Santa Claus. And I hope nobody's listening I know it's sensitive, etc.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. If you have kids, please turn off your radio.
Please.
Right now.
Please.
Right now.
Turn the radios off.
Okay, right.
Go ahead, Michael.
But I think that's a typical thing for many, many people. But we didn't, in my family, I know that my younger brother believed in the tooth fairy.
Oh, I've believed it for a long time.
Yeah.
Because a woman in a kimono visited us, and one of my siblings said that that's the tooth fairy. I thought the tooth fairy dressed in a kimono and flew in.
Wow.
For the longest time.
So do you, real quick though, Michael, first of all, I'd had no idea that both of your parents were scientists.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever met anyone who's been in that similar situation. But how do you think that has shaped who you are today? Two parents as scientists.
Well, it meant that I was always a huge disappointment to them because
oh, no.
I, 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 I never did particularly well in the sciences, didn't go into it. The lowest grade I got in college was in physics. And and that's true for all four of the brothers in my family. I mean, we all sort of avoided it. My mom was a biochemist and had a very interesting career, but then she got overwhelmed by four boys at home. And my dad was a physicist, and he kept working at it until literally the day he died. And so. It was an item of some pride for me. My dad was part of the of NASA for some time, and back in those days, that was considered pretty cool.
Oh well, it's still cool. Really cool.
Oh, it's still cool. It's like Louis Vuitton. It ain't going out of style, bro.
Right. Okay. Right. But I'll tell you one thing that it had an impact on me. And one thing that a lot of people believe, which is really stupid, it seems to me, is that we never actually went to the moon. That the moon landing with the astronauts on the moon was faked. That it was shot on some Hollywood soundstage. And that used to get my father, as a veteran of NASA, it used to get him very, very angry. So this was not something.
Yes, I can imagine.
And I remember there was one of the astronauts who, in his 80s, he punched out some guy who was heckling him about the...
Buzz Aldrin. Buzz Aldrin famously leveled a guy who was spouting that stuff.
Which was great. You gotta love that. Sorry.
Oh my gosh. I had no idea about any of this, and I love that you shared. Okay, let's talk about what we really want to talk about this morning, which is, let's start off with some of our local congressional races. And earlier this week, we talked about the Seattle Times. They pointed out that Regan Dunn, who I know is one of your faves, and he is running for the 8th Congressional District. He is currently a King County Council member. And it was presented like a flip-flop on the abortion issue, although Reagan sent out a statement saying that it was not. But he was the sole no vote on the King County Council on this symbolic motion supporting Roe v. Wade as law of the land. What is your take on that?
Look, he's in a very difficult political situation. I think he's always been a moderate on the abortion issue. He's not one of these people who has said it's abortion is equal to murder. The idea is, in other words, I'm not sure that this King County Council vote makes any difference to anybody except just virtue signaling. And in other words, is it possible, especially for an attorney, to look at Alito's decision and that he wrote, which has a logic to it and makes some sense, and at the same time not to believe that we should all be subject to something like an abomination like the Texas law or like the law in Oklahoma, the unrealistically and ridiculously strict attempt at restrictions? And this is particularly true for what is going to be our next big national debate. Is 54% of all of what are classified as abortions in the country are from pills and are not surgical. And if you want to try to make that access to pills, Bordofassian pills that would help prevent the baby from developing or continuing or even attaching to the uterine walls, as I understand the way they work, if you're going to try to have the government prevent that, I don't know how that's going to work. I just, and it's one of those things where what I wish with all my heart is that they had not leaked the decision, because I do believe that it was on the process of being changed and probably will be before it's issued.
Okay, so you think that there might be at least one justice who would change on that so that nothing would change,
no,
essentially?
No. It's because no one had gone over this yet. Apparently the normal process in the court is they decide, they make a decision, then in terms of writing the opinion, it's assigned to one justice, and Roberts, because he may not have agreed with the majority, assigned it to Alito, and now before it comes out, it's usually edited back and forth. And I do think that it is likely that the court pays some attention, not to the demonstrators that are shouting and screaming outside their homes, which I think is a terrible thing, but that the court pays some attention to the huge wrenching national outcry, which he's also got to hear, that is about as emotional a reaction to a court decision as I can remember. Can you think of anything that's been comparably emotional?
No,
not at all.
Maybe Brown versus school board in
1954.
Yeah, which ended segregation basically.
Yeah, and not that long. And by the way, that little girl is still alive, so that just lets you know just how recent that was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But let's talk about Ukraine for a second and Joe Kent. Recently, hold on, Michael. The Senate approved $40 billion in aid for Ukraine. Mitch McConnell,
$9.8 billion.
Mitch McConnell called the Ukraine war one of the biggest issues facing the world today. However, Joe Kent objects to this. He told Dory Monson that sending aid to Ukraine was suicidal.
Is a suicide mission. Like, what sane, rational country would say that with all the problems that we have right now, a wide open southern border, mothers frantically searching for baby formula for their children, and this rampant inflation, what sane country would say, hey, let's just grab $40 billion that we don't have and send it overseas, and not just overseas, but overseas to potentially get us into a conflict with nuclear armed Russia. It's just absolute madness, and I think suicidal is a perfect way to put it.
Okay, and just for everyone who's wondering, well, who's Joe Kent? He's running as a Republican against Jamie Herrera Butler in the Southwest Washington District, the 3rd District.
Wow. And what's my response? My response is about as contemptuous toward Joe Kemp, maybe even more so, than it is to Rand Paul. Rand Paul, this aid is crucial. It is a moral issue. If there is any issue of good versus evil in our time that I can remember, it's Russia versus Ukraine right now. What is absolutely essential, and this was an editorial in the New York Times today. In the New York Times, again, we're not now talking about some right-wing, we're talking about the New York Times. They said that what is essential about this war is that Russia not gain from it. And the only way to do that is to make sure that the Ukrainians, who have been fighting magnificently, though badly outnumbered, have the tools that they need. And this provides that. It also provides some relief and rebuilding funds. And we are part of a world community. And we now are about to have Finland and, God willing, soon Sweden joining that community. The West matters. The America's leadership of the world and some kind of order in this world, that all matters. And by the way, I feel for the people who are trying to find baby formula, but that is not necessarily a responsibility of the federal government. Mm. A national security is.
Well, I would argue
both
that
can
both
true.
Can be true.
Both can be true.
Yeah, I agree with you on the need to help Ukraine because it is in our national best interest. But also, this baby formula situation. In the United States of America in 2022, we should not have mothers scrambling around trying to figure out how they're going to feed their babies.
No, absolutely not. No, you're right. Of course you're right. But part of what happened was this apparently has to do with the Abbott company recall.
That's part of it. That's one part of it. The other part of it is the what's going on with the not just global supply, but the supply chain. And management of supply chain and all the slowdowns in that and all the regulations trying to get formula. And frankly, it is so expensive right now that needs to be an issue that should be tackled as well. But here's my question. You said with Reagan Dunn. He's a moderate, and he's in a difficult position. We've got Jamie Herrera Butler, who I look at as a moderate Republican.
Sure.
I have great respect for her. And sure. Someone like Joe Kent is running against her. And why is it that's why I'm disappointed with Reagan Dunn. Why aren't more moderates saying, look, you know, this is not okay? And instead of, you know, going and deferring to this other part of the Republican Party, that the moderates have a stronger backbone. And I actually think Jamie Herrera Butler has shown that. But you know what I'm saying? It's like there would be much wider appeal.
I don't know, frankly. Have you read the text of the statement by the King County Commission where Reagan Dunn was the only no vote? Was there? Because I don't know what the language of it said.
It was a simple. Pete von Reichbar, who's also Republican, voted in favor. It's essentially basically saying that no matter what happens nationally, a woman can still know that she will have a right to choose in the state of Washington. I mean, that's essentially what it said.
Which is a true statement, and which is one of the reasons that people should be thankful for the idea of this is not any kind of decision that outlaws abortion. It's a decision that sends the issue back to the states where it belongs.
Which I'm glad you bring that up, sir. Glad you bring that up. Let's talk about a state like Ohio. And we all know that there's a trigger there that once it does happen as law of the land, then right there you bring it to the states and they make it illegal. What's going to happen in Ohio? All the people that have money, all the people that are rich, that are well-to-do, they will move from Ohio. They're fine. And who is Ohio going to be left with there in the state? Who's going to be left?
Look,
people that can't afford it.
The fact is that with a number of states trying to set themselves up as abortion sanctuary states, basically, including California, I don't think that people are going to necessarily move from Ohio. I think they're going to go through the situation, if an abortion they feel is needed, of going to a neighboring state. Is this situation chaotic right now, highly politicized, polarizing, and kind of appalling? It is all of those things. And I wish both sides could keep in mind a little bit of a transcendent national interest, which includes, by the way, maintaining some kind of dignity and respect in terms of our attitude toward the Supreme Court, even when you're convinced that they are wrong.
And I agree with that to some extent, Michael, but the Supreme Court has become politicized. I mean,
it became politicized
real.
A long time ago.
And
this is one of those things that conservatives have criticized. And for conservatives to view this as some kind of political victory, look, it's a judicial question. Then the judicial question is, you had states that have legalized abortion. They legalized abortion long before Roe, as Washington State did, as New York did, as California did. There were 20 states that had already legalized abortion. I wish that process had been allowed to continue. It was one of those things where by big footing into this issue as a judicial issue, which it is not at its core, the court basically polarized the issue. It's either your right to life or your right to choice. And actually, we should follow Europe's example and have abortion widely available with regulations and restraints.
This is a much deeper conversation. We always end on those deeper conversations.
Yeah, Michael.
But Michael, appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It's so great to have you back and enjoy the springtime.
Absolutely.
You too. Okay, still ahead.
Yes, King County Assessor John Wilson will join the show. Yes, you should stay and listen because it matters for all of us. We're going to talk about the 2022 property tax assessments and how they're going up like it was a Tuesday. It's Gene Ursula.
Welcome Welcome back. It is our Fresh Friday show, G and Ursula show. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. As you know, property values around the region are soaring right now. So what are your property taxes going to look like next year? And who qualifies for help? We wanted to bring in King County Assessor John Arthur Wilson, and he joins us now. Good morning, John.
Hey, Ursula.
Thanks so much for joining us. So a lot of people don't know this. I've known you for many, many years. You used to be a political analyst with us on election nights on Cairo. Do you remember any time where we've seen these kind of jumps?
God, no. You know, when I saw the initial numbers, it was frankly just breathtaking. You know, now, I actually told our team, are you sure? Go back and crunch them again. And no, it's unprecedented. And the amazing thing this time, is it's not just here in King County. We're higher and it's more extreme here a bit, but I talked to other assessors around the state. It's happening all over.
So give us some examples of where areas are seeing the highest increases in their property values and why.
Well, like the Sammamish Plateau is up 52% year over year. The Northeast County communities of Kirkland, Redmond, Woodinville and Bellevue are up about 45%, but it you know, elsewhere around the county, you've got in the city of Seattle, things are up just under 20%. Mercer Island, 36%. Federal Way, 26%. It's all over the place, and it's just stunning. Now, you know, obviously the important thing to remind listeners is property value increases don't automatically translate one-to-one in that your taxes are going to go up that much. That varies very much by where you live, what taxes you pay for through your property tax. But still, when they go up this much, people are going to feel it.
John, you say people are going to feel it, so it's one of the things that I like to think about. What about the tax relief? I know you had mentioned tax relief programs. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely, G. You know, first let's deal with the one that we have in hand. 3 years ago, we went down to Olympia with AARP and Senator Makadingra and that, and we got passed a change to the state senior exemption law that raised the economic threshold from $40,000 across the state, which is a pittance here in King County, to indexed by county. And so right now, it stands at $58,423. And that's opened the door for a huge number of additional citizens to come in. You have to be 61. The owner-occupant of the home and have an income at or below the 58,423 once deductions and that are calculated in that. But it makes a huge difference. If you have the mythical, if you will, $600,000 home in King County, and you're at that lower level, there are three tiers in it, the lowest is about $40,000. If you're at that level, it will save you annually about $4,500 a year on your property taxes. That's real money.
So you talked about who qualifies. Did you say, I want to make sure I got that right. Did you say 61 years and up?
Right. Or if you are disabled under Social Security or a disabled veteran at up to 80%. But frankly, that disability level is still too damn high and ought to be lower.
Wow. And why do you think that?
Because if you put your life on the line for this country, I think we could stand to give you a break on property taxes a bit if you've been disabled because of your service. And I just think 80% is still too high.
I agree. John, you said, so it's not going to be, if you see a 30% increase in your valuation, you're not necessarily going to see that same percentage in terms of tax increases, but what kind of tax increases are you anticipating?
Well, we're going to see double-digit increases, I think, in a fair number of the counties. Part of it will be in like some of those communities I just mentioned, Ursula. What you're going to see is the county-wide measures that you pay property taxes on are likely to shift, and those communities actually will see them paying more proportionately for those services than in lower value communities. So there's kind of an internal shift within the county and that. But then it depends. We have just under 600 levy codes we calculate each year for the some 160 taxing districts. Mm. And, you know, I'd like to remind, you know, listeners, the assessor doesn't set taxes. I set values. And it's your local governments, your school boards. We even have on Vashon a cemetery district, for example. They set the taxes and that. But nevertheless, we've got a role in it because we set the values.
So this is a question from a listener. What is King County, since you're the King County assessor, what will happen to and how will you spend the windfall of that additional tax money?
You have to remember the state has a 1% cap on raising tax revenue, so it doesn't work into a windfall for the county. So frankly, what we'll do is look at how it gets reallocated amongst different districts and how levy rates may change. But the other thing that, frankly, we're looking at and we've started to talk to legislators about is Washington's one of only about 10 states that doesn't have a so-called homestead exemption, where you give a percentage of value or such right off the top to homeowners. We need that, and we need it now. Now, it's probably going to require a fairly heavy lift in Olympia to have a constitutional amendment to do it. But it's time we step up and look at how we restructure our property taxes and our dependency on it and give everyday homeowners a little bit of a break on their property taxes.
Speaking of the break, you had mentioned the double-digit increases. I want to know exactly more what that means. And I also want to ask you your thoughts on what this is going to mean for the immediate future. We are consistently, daily, on our show, on Cairo Radio, talking about the homelessness crisis here in this area. Do you think that this increase will make an impact to increase the homelessness crisis?
And I'm one of those daily listeners, G.
I appreciate you, fam.
I love you guys. Directly, in most cases, no. But when the cost of housing goes up, whether it's driven by market conditions or by property taxes, you run the increasing risk that some families find they just can't afford to stay in that house. And one of the great problems we have is there's not enough housing overall, and there's certainly not, if you have to move, you got to sell that house, where do you go? And can you stay in King County, or do you have to move outside the region and that? So it all relates, and it's alarming because we need so much more housing, and we need affordable housing.
Yeah. You are correct, and that is something that we talk about virtually daily. This Homestead Act that you're talking about, would that in essence be the same as trying to create a maximum year-over-year tax increase limitation based on maybe the original purchase price? Because we just heard from a Bellevue listener who said, I'm living here with my grandkids, and I may have to move because I can't afford another property tax increase.
Yeah, and guys, first of all, I hear that from folks. You know, what that suggests is something, if you will, kind of like California's Prop 13. And first of all, constitutionally, the state of Washington can't do that. The uniformity clause prohibits it. But also, the impact that Prop 13 had on California K-12 and California's once outstanding higher ed system was just devastating. And it creates real inequities in a system where you can literally have people living in a development in virtually identical houses, and one's paying based upon a property value set in 1975, and the other's paying based upon a value set in 2022. That's just not fair. But what we can do is use, because we don't have an income tax, you can use the median value of a home in the county as kind of a threshold marker. Every assessor collects that data in their county on all 39 of them. So what you do is say, like, up to about $1.5 million, you'd actually get a tax break on your property. But then it's a shift. When you own a $5 million home, you pay a little bit more. If, frankly, you're Jeff Bezos or Bill Gates, you're going to pay probably an additional 50, $60,000 a year in property taxes. But something tells me I'm not even sure they'd recognize that it would
come
go on.
There you go. That's it. Now you're talking, John. I was waiting to see if you were going to say that. You know what? You do listen to the show because you say, you know what? Let me get this in because I know G is going to comment about that.
I knew, my man. I knew.
All right, John, we really appreciate you taking the time to join us. Have a great Friday and the rest of this weekend. All the best to you, sir.
Thank you both. I really appreciated it. Take care.
All right.
Thank you.
That is King County Assessor John Arthur Wilson. We appreciate him joining the show. Ursula, do you want to do scenarios or can we go over what we just heard right there? I would like to respond to that. I feel guilty going into scenarios.
Yes, I think
so we do that next. And listeners, go ahead and text in your thoughts of what you just heard from the King County Assessor. 888-973-CHIRO is Gene Ursula. Ursula Show. Happy Fresh Fridays. Yes, usually we do scenarios during this time, but we went a little long with the King County Assessor, and so we don't want to mess scenarios up. So we're going to do it at 11:30 because Ursula got a few texts saying, no, where's scenarios? So
one said, do you want to know what's on my mind? Stop bumping scenarios.
Wow.
So, when it comes to either breaking news or important topics and property taxes going up is a very important topic that affects everybody.
It affects everyone. And so I'm quite sure there are some that are saying, well, I don't live in King County, so this doesn't bother me. No.
It's every county.
This is going to impact everyone. And your takeaway from the interview that we had just done, my takeaway is simple, Ursula. Rich people are going to be okay. Those in the middle are going to struggle. Especially, I don't even like calling it class. That's another case in itself.
Right.
Mid-class, high-class. I don't like that.
Yeah, I know. Middle-income earners.
But middle-income earners, which is the majority of those listening right now, it is going to be tough.
Yeah.
And especially if you're not in a home, Ursula.
Yes. A bunch of text messages came in. Parents are retired on 7 acres since 1977. Property valued at $1.5 million and taxes are $15,000 a year. Another 206 said that because it's going to go up into double digits, they're finally going to have to move. And then Ms. Jan texted in and said, I'm thankful for the senior tax discount. I've played plenty over the years. Our tax dollars are not managed, so I don't have guilt not paying.
When people talk about people moving, I don't think people really understand how much of an impact that is on someone. Oh, you know what? Just move. Really? No. It's not that easy.
It isn't that easy. And I know some people are so happy. We hear from them all the time that they have moved and they have lower taxes. But the sad thing is there are people who are going to be able to afford it and they move right in.
Even if you leave King County and go down to Pierce County, yes, you'll probably get a house that's less than what you had, but you're still are going to be in bidding wars. You're still going to possibly pay $30,000, $40,000 over asking price.
Yeah, well, we looked at it. Enumclaw, 23%, 26% Federal Way. I mean, it's still in the double digits, which, again, is only okay if you have money. And I do hope that the threshold is raised so that more people can qualify because otherwise people who did buy a long time ago, I mean, they're going to be forced out and that's not okay either.
And that's not okay. Coming up next, it is time for Agree to Disagree. And in that discussion, question, should we be rooting for people to come back to the office? That's going to be a tough topic there. G and Ursula.
I'm going to have myself a fine time. I'm in the bed, I'm going to have myself some fun.